Oh,
Hello
here.
there.
Okay, that's a lot better.
Okay, you can hear me now?
I can. So on this week's episode, we're going to, I guess, completely forget about what the last episode was about because it was about trading Chris Paul, and he already got traded to Phoenix, which wasn't Orlando, which I had suggested. So we're going to forget completely about that. We can talk a little bit about the Oklahoma City Thunder and who they ended up trading. But first of all, I wanted to start and say, did you hear about the LaMelo Ball 21 thing?
21? 21 what?
So they asked him recently why he got so many rebounds in a game. He got 12 rebounds. And they asked him, they said, how come you're such a good rebounder? And he said, well, it's just natural because I play 21 with my brothers all the time. And
Oh.
now here's the weird thing. When we played 21, we would shoot one or two free throws. I mean, you probably remember better than me. And the rebound would come off, and wherever the rebound went, you shot from there. And if you made it, you got to go back to the free throw line. But the way they play 21 was they would shoot it, and if you missed, then it turns into one-on-one after that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, my American friends told me that. That's pretty cool.
So it'd be like when you play with three people, that I remember it being like that. So
Yeah,
whoever
when
got the
you
rebound.
Yeah, when you play with three people, it's like our style of St. Mary's, which is, everybody for themselves.
St. Mary's, that was it. Okay.
Yeah.
Now it's
So they're
starting to.
playing like a blend of 21 and St. Mary's where we're from, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I totally forgot about St. Mary's. I haven't thought about that.
Yeah, actually, Lonzo Ball is not a bad rebounder either. So,
Yeah, it's 6'6". I mean, he's got a pretty good vert, so it
I
makes
think
sense he's
he's close. He's closer to 6'4" and a half, but he is a pretty good rebounder for 6'4" and a
that
half. I mean, that's how tall Westbrook apparently is, even though he's not earning most of his rebounds, honestly.
tall. I'm not sure any of the listed heights are the same in the NBA because you look at Fred VanVleet, and I saw him on video the other day. He was easily 5'10", and they're trying to say he's listed at 6".
I think they're just trying to intimidate people with his height.
So I don't know. Do you want to go into OKC and what happened with the trades? Obviously, it's impossible to ignore the James Harden. Did you hear about the James Harden thing today?
Yeah, he basically said, I can't fix this huge problem that is the Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty funny him saying he can't fix something that he basically is trying to break.
Yeah,
Because
that's right.
the team is built around his style of play. Everything they've done for the last 5 to 8 years has been for him. And he's like, I can't fix this. And it's like, you're the one who created this problem.
The hardest part is how people were coming in and leaving. I don't know. I mean, the only thing, like what I was saying to you before, was if they used him as just a general shooting guard and had him just shoot, it would be fine. Like have Chris Paul be the point guard, but instead, it was always still James being the point guard. So unless you put an amazing shooting guard with him, he's basically a point guard who's got only another 6 foot guy to pass to.
Yeah, but I mean, is it actually a point guard when 70% of the time he's hunting his own shot? That's not really a point guard, right?
So that's an offensive, and you're right. It's a horrible example of a point guard. I mean, what I mean by point guard is just he's at the top of the key, he's setting up the plays, and he's driving, and if somebody's open, he gives it to them for a shot.
Yeah, but
So that.
he's setting up the play 70, 75% of the time for himself. That's not a point guard. The point guard of today, Chris Paul is a good example. Steph Curry, Damian Lillard, they're like modern day point guards where they're hunting their shot like 40% of the time, maybe, but the other 60%, they're trying to get people involved,
Yeah, I think the best part to bring up right now is who would be a pure point guard? Like Ricky Rubio in my mind would be a pure point guard.
Rajon Rondo.
Yeah, perfect. Like he knows the ins and outs on defense and he knows how to set up plays and he actually tries he gives it to everybody first, see how they do, and then he kind of takes over.
Yeah, but
So
I mean, Doncic is an amazing point guard. Like
yeah, that's true.
Doncic gets like, eight, I think like eight assists a game or something like that. Like because he's always looking for people, but he does understand, like I said, like a real point guard in today's NBA, unlike, you know, Gary Payton or John Stockton or even Steve Kerr, John Paxson, like going way back, like those point guards were probably hunting their shot, like, you know, 25, 30% of the time. But now to be a really good point guard, you have to be kind of hunting your own shot, maybe like 35, 40% of the time, just because like you have to be able to score, but you also like majority of the time, you do have to be looking to get people involved. Otherwise everybody's just going to like not be interested, you know?
Well, I think Chris Webber made the perfect example of a point guard when he said, Jay Will, you know, white chocolate.
Mm.
He basically said a point guard is supposed to be able to make moves, almost score, and then set you up. That's what a point guard should have. So, like Allen Iverson crossover, such good moves that they break down the defense and then give it to you for an easy opportunity.
Yeah, that's a good point. If a point guard is not a scoring threat, then will the defense collapse as much as they need to? Yeah.
They won't collapse at all.
Yeah.
And a lot of the guys in the game today barely have these moves or don't do enough to create much space. So then when they pass it off, the guy's got nothing to do.
Yeah. I just want to backtrack for a second. Is it racist to say white chocolate?
Yeah. I mean, my whole thing, when I'm dealing with that at all is everybody has a name.
Yeah. If you read articles about Jason Williams, it actually does say white chocolate.
that's his nickname, yeah, and yeah. It might be inappropriate. You know, I mean, I remember way back when I was really young, I was watching football. People would say the names on players' backs. They wouldn't even say their names. And in NBA, when it started, I always remember people always mentioned their names. Yeah. And I think everybody should know everyone's name, and that's a really, really good place, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah. Yeah,
I grew up
– yeah. The names are important. Yeah, of course you should know the names. But, I mean, it's fun to have nicknames as long as they're not, super derogatory.
Because I saw one person with their jersey where they had I have a name on the back of it. And I 100% support that.
Oh, yeah, no. When it comes to the Black Lives Matters, yeah, they don't need to have their names on their jerseys. Like, forget about that. It's more important to make a political statement than have their name, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you want to move on to the eight picks for the playoff? Did you pick anyone or no?
Yeah, I got my eight picks.
Okay, see if any of mine match up.
Well, I'm just going to let me read mine off.
And, okay.
And then we'll see if there's anybody that you have that's on yours that's not on mine.
Okay.
Just to see if we're in that realm. So I feel like this is going to be the final eight after the play-in games. So okay. This will be my final. This is actually my final eight before the play-in games and after the play-in game, the play-in tournament.
Just before we go into that, I was going to ask you your opinion on defense, and it hardly ever gets talked about in the media. And to me, it was the most important thing when I was on the court, was running and guarding two or three people at a time and making sure that the ball didn't do well. I notice a lot when I watch these games now that people are playing lackadaisical or almost like not serious defense, in my opinion.
Are you talking about the regular season or the playoffs? Those are two completely different things.
I realize in the playoff it tightens up a bit, but I really feel like in the regular season, I don't see nearly enough of it. And in the playoffs, I could definitely see a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, I last year, like before the COVID and even during the bubble, I don't think there was a lot of teams playing tenacious defense. Actually, the only three teams that I felt played tenacious defense most of the time were Milwaukee, Miami, and Boston.
Okay.
And I mean, Milwaukee had the defensive player of the year in Giannis. So yeah, of course, like he's going to like be a great defensive anchor and be raising the expectations of defense in general on the team. Adebayo and Jimmy Butler are amazing, amazing defensive players. And they also raise the bar within their team. And then Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown are amazing defensive players. And they also, like, you know, they expect their teammates to follow suit. So.
So we're going to continue on with our list. I just got a report from a reliable source that James Harden was just traded during this recording.
No.
I swear, it just came up.
Oh, my God.
Go to the
Rockets deal Harden to Nets.
What? For who?
Well, it's going to be a multi. Oh, wow. This is crazy. It's going to be a multi-team deal. And so James Harden's going to the Nets. The Nets will move LeVert, which is the biggest piece, and then Exum and Kurucs, who don't really matter that much. And then a lot of first
round. Come on, Exum's looking good this year.
Exum's okay, but he's not a huge factor, of course. He's the fifth or sixth guy off the bench. Come on now.
But did you hear, like, he was injured for the last couple of years. They said he was overly injured all the time. If he actually gets healthy, you could have a pretty solid guy.
Yeah. And then you got four first-round picks and four pick swaps with Jared Allen and Torian Prince going to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then the Rockets are trading LeVert to – so LeVert's actually going to Indiana for Oladipo.
Okay. There's just so much to process here. Okay. Let's see here. Am I still recording with you?
Oh, yeah. No, it's still like recording. This? It's fine.
Okay, so let's see here. So whoever sent me the message put no details.
So basically, the Nets are saying buy LeVert, buy Exum, buy Kurucs, buy Allen, buy Turian Prince. They're saying goodbye to all five of those players and a lot of picks. And all they're getting back, in my opinion, is James Harden, because I don't like him or appreciate him. So all they're getting is James Harden, who is an amazing scorer, and he's okay on defense, but I think he's going to mess up with the chemistry unless Durant says, hey, buddy, you can't be dribbling the ball for 22 seconds and then decide whether or not you want to shoot or pass. It's not going to work.
Okay, did you mention Victor
Oladipo? So the Rockets, they get LeVert, and they're saying, we don't want LeVert. We're going to trade LeVert to the Pacers for all – well, they probably want LeVert, but they needed to do this three-way deal, which is probably connected with the first-round picks and the pick swaps.
Dude, that's a great move for the Pacers, because now they can put LeVert at small forward, and they can have Brogdon do shooting guard, and then they can have that young Holiday running point. And he's got his brother off the bench, who's a great ball handler, too.
Yeah, there's Justin Holiday, and then what's the other one?
There you go.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a really cool trade, man. We're gonna see what happens. Okay.
And then they still got who's Sabonis' son is still on that team.
Oh, yeah. We got – I always forget how to say his first name. I'm not even going to try it, but I love Sabonis. He's an amazing player. Yeah. He was an all-star last year, deservedly. So, I mean, he's awesome.
Okay, so what exactly is happening? So the Nets get Harden. That's pretty simple. Now, just to make sure, you don't even think that Harden is one of the best offensive players to ever play this game?
Harden is definitely one of the best offensive players to ever play this game. But what has he shown us in the last 8 years? He has shown us that if you want to handle the ball that much and score that much, et cetera, through the regular season in the first or second round of the playoffs, you're going to run out of gas, which he's repeatedly done. First of all, he's running out of gas. But second of all, his teammates, whether or not they admit it or not, they'll probably admit it 5 or 10 years later in some memoirs. They just look disinterested a lot of the time. And that used to happen with Kobe Bryant. Like his teammates would just be disinterested. And when people are disinterested, they're just, you know, it's not fun to play there, first of all. But it's also just like, you know, you're not going to be into the game. Like Kobe Bryant would expect his teammates to be like all fired up at the end of the game and be in a good rhythm and be in a good groove. But they were like, fucking, you know, we're not even into this game anymore, man. We fell asleep in the third quarter.
Yeah, I mean, if you look back and you look at like a Jordan or even a Shaq, you know, these guys can put up 30 points a game. There's not a lot of players in every generation who can do that. And just because you're capable doesn't really mean you should. I mean, Bradley Beal is one of my favorite players, but his shooting percentage is so suspect. You go, okay, well, he's got 30 something points, but he's missed like 12 shots.
Yeah.
So is that, I mean, that might be another subject for another podcast, but to me, is it worth getting a lot of points if you're not going to win the game? You know, like I like Westbrook more than anyone. I'm the biggest Westbrook fan you will ever find. But like, if he's not shooting threes well, should he continue shooting, and will it shoot his team out of the game?
Yeah.
You know, and but back to the trade. I mean, Victor Oladipo looks healthy. I think he'll be able to help Houston.
Yeah, yeah. I think pairing him with John Wall and a couple other players Houston got. Nobody knows who they are. The team is basically like no. I mean, Houston's they're not. I mean, Christian Wood is very good. John Wall is very good. DeMarcus Cousins is a big dumb idiot. Yeah, you add Oladipo, like, yeah, it's going to be a fun team, but I don't think they're going to make much noise, you know.
Because the thing is with DeMarcus Cousins, he reminds me of a lot of Rasheed Wallace, where he creates a lot of upsetness, and he seems to really create a lot of turmoil in the locker room. But at the same time, he just wants to win. Like, once you put Rasheed Wallace on a team and he won, he was fine. You never heard another bad thing about him.
Yeah, no, I mean, DeMarcus Cousins, like, he's a good rebounder. He's actually good on defense when he tries, and he's able to score when he doesn't, like, go out of his means, which is, like, you know, trying to do, like, a lot of threes or turnarounds or something. But, yeah, I mean, he's a good player, but he has been injured a lot, and I don't think he takes care of himself like he should. He doesn't look like he's in great shape anytime.
Now, the last time that James Harden was able to do well in the playoffs and make it to the finals was when he had a team of a lot of strong players. So he had Westbrook, he had Durant. Now he had a good power forward and center too. I don't know if New Jersey really has that right now, but.
Well, yeah, I mean, one thing you can say about Harden in his defense is that when they had Chris Paul, and Chris Paul was controlling the ball quite a bit, which should be the case when you have Chris Paul in your team, Houston should have beat Golden State. But then Chris Paul got injured, of course, in the last two games, gave 6 and 7. They were up 3-2, and they lost in game 7, finally, to the Warriors because they missed 27 threes in a row or something like that. But Chris Paul wasn't there for game 6 and 7, and the Houston Rockets kind of fell apart, and they lost their identity, which they clearly showed in the bubble when LA Lakers destroyed them. The only identity they had was, you know, Harden takes the ball, somebody shoots a three, Harden shoots a three, and it was just very easy to defend and shut down. So, I mean, when Harden's now, on a team with Durant and Irving, like, Irving seems a little more tame so far. You know, I think he respects Durant, and I think Harden respects Durant. So when Durant says, dude, like, you can't be dribbling that much. We got to move the ball. We got to do this. Come on. This is how team basketball works. Like, I know you can get yours, blah, 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 but that's not going to work, man. Like, it's not going to get us through the season in a really healthy, good way, and it's not going to get us through the playoffs either.
Not only that, like, Steve Nash is not going to put up with that.
I hope not.
And neither, neither will D'Antoni.
Well, D'Antoni, I mean, D'Antoni kind of made him one. So let's not give D'Antoni any credit here.
I think what you're alluding to, though, with the Chris Paul and James Harden, where they were in Houston, was that it seemed like you didn't really have a clutch person to help close it out. I've always learned in my life that some people just have a way of finishing off a game, and some people just can't. Like, I've played with many people who the game would be to 11, they'd get all 10 points, and they couldn't get the 11th point no matter what they did. And I've been watching all the, like, the this year perfectly was with James Harden against, I think it was OKC, and Chris Paul was on the other team. And they both were going back and forth and missing 7 or 8 shots in the fourth. Like, some people are meant to pass most of the game and then dominate and take over, like a Jordan, like a Shaq. They can take over at the end of a game, or a Kobe. Yeah. But instead, some people, no matter what they do, they just can't dominate or take over at the end. And they should probably maybe just take over more in the beginning, in the middle of the game, get the score up, and then pass it to somebody else who can maybe get it done at the end of the game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, nobody gets it done at the end of the game all the time. But the examples that you use, you know, Kobe, Jordan, Shaq, if you want to throw Durant in there, like, you know, like, these are guys that, and Nowitzki, you know, arguably Nowitzki, and D-Wade. I mean, D-Wade basically won the Heat their championship in 2006. Shaq was awesome, and other people were awesome, but D-Wade, after 2 years in the NBA and 3 or 4 years at Marquette, like, he just stepped up and he was like, I'm ready for this. And he just took over.
Yeah, I was always surprised how D-Wade could never really see
threes. No, he started shooting threes later in his career, but he was all about mid-range and just getting to the basket. I mean, he averaged like 25 or 26 a game. He was amazing.
Yeah, and you paired him with LeBron and Bosch. That was one heck of a threesome.
And actually, I'm pretty sure I heard this before, but D-Wade, I think he has like the most blocks ever for a guard in like NBA history. Yeah, like defensively, he was phenomenal on defense. Like, I think I read that in an article before, and I was like, "Yeah, that kind of makes sense." I wasn't surprised by it. Like the most blocks for a guard. I mean, he was 6'4", so that did give him a little bit of an edge in terms of a guard. But I mean, you know, he got the job done on defense, like usually.
Like I haven't heard everybody's opinion, but my opinion of LeBron James would be he was probably the best defender I've ever seen in my life, because at 6'8 and 260, he can guard people down low. They can't back him down, and he can run around the perimeter and block everybody when they shoot.
Oh yeah, when LeBron wanted to play defense, like his whole career, whenever he wants to play defense, even at 36, like it's good defense. I mean, you go back to the days with Miami, like him and Wade, like they just destroyed people on defense, you know, when LeBron was in his prime and Wade was still in his prime. They were destroying people on defense, man.
Yeah, because you could have arguments. You could say, okay, well, Dikembe Mutombo or David Robinson were better on defense because they blocked a lot of shots. But LeBron, I mean, those two guys can't go on the perimeter and block people's three-point shots. Like, LeBron could really do that. He could guard the point guard and guard him well and then block